Well, most of us know that the world of communications is undergoing fundamental change. Evidence for that is all around. Here's something that you might soon be adding to your list of big changes: the demise of cable television. That's right. Here to talk about it is Michael Panzik, who spent 21 years as the founding president and CEO of the National Cable Television Cooperative. Mike, nice to have you here again. Welcome back.
Steve, thanks.
Well, once upon a time, you were a big national cable TV exec, but you think cable TV is in big trouble. Why?
Well, I wouldn't say big trouble. It's in trouble because of our own doing. We still use basically the same retail model that our fathers and grandfathers invented in 1948 when cable started.
Then 1948 started?
Yeah. Back then, it was two or three channels for $3.95 a month. But basically, we use the same model today. The problem is everything else has changed, and we haven't, but we're learning how to change with it.
What should the model be, Mike?
Well, I personally, and I've taken a lot of gas for this over the years, I think it ought to be something along the a la carte range, where you can buy just the channels you want. Maybe you pay a certain amount, a monthly minimum and maybe a monthly maximum. Mm-hmm. But that never got any traction because the programmers hate that model.
Mm-hmm.
They want to control, and I'm talking about Fox and Discovery Networks, and there's five big companies that own almost every channel. They want to control how that channel's displayed, what tier it's in, who's next door, and the poor cable operator is just way downhill in the food chain.
So they resist the a la carte approach.
Oh, yes.
It's obviously more complicated. It would require a lot more resources to manage something like that, I'm
guessing. Yeah, the crazy thing is, they say, well, it'll never work. But HBO has been a la carte for 45 years.
Well, that's true.
Showtime has been a la carte. Movie Channel's been a la carte. So we know it can work. They just don't want to do it because they think they'll make less money if they mm-hmm. do it that way. And some smaller channels that don't have a big audience will go out of business. But you know what? The same thing is true of magazines and, you know, radio shows. If no one listens to your radio show, eventually you're going to go away too.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, that's not happening here, Mike, just
no,
for the record.
Not
yeah.
this one.
Yeah. Well, so if cable TV is facing these challenges because of the model that's been around, how are things changing? What are people doing to watch TV if they're not going to cable TV?
Well, it depends how old you are.
Mm-hmm.
If you're someone your age to my age and older.
Be careful there.
Well, yeah. I know we're different generations.
not by much.
Yeah. And especially if you're an older person who lives in a smaller town, cable is probably not going to change much for you over the next 10 or 20 years. But if you're 32 years old or younger, if you're a member of the millennial generation, this group came from a different planet. They look at everything. It's not just the cable business. They look at everything differently than their parents and especially their grandparents
and
did.
And that is, they don't want to pay for this stuff,
they
right?
Do not
they think
want
it should be free.
It. They think everything on the internet should be free. And while I might like the idea of that in kind of a soft, fluffy way, it doesn't pay the bills. There's no business if someone's got to pay something for everything. Somehow it's got to be.
So if they're not paying for cable then, Mike, what are they doing to get it?
Many of them like to buy just broadband, just access to the internet, high-speed broadband, and then they'll go out and buy a subscription to Netflix or Roku or, you know, there's half dozen other services like that. And their needs are fully met. You know, if you don't care about sports, you don't care about ESPN, if you don't watch what you and I would call traditional TV, ABC, NBC, CBS,
yeah.
and a lot of millennials couldn't care less about that, then their needs are fully met by having a high-speed broadband service and maybe a Netflix and a Roku or Hulu Plus subscription. They pay mm-hmm. $8 or $9 a month. At the end of the day, they get the channels they want for about half price.
So they're savvy shoppers.
They are very savvy shoppers. And our industry, like other industries, are trying to figure out what do these kids want, what are they willing to pay, and how do we get from where we are today to where we need to be to serve them the way they want.
Because the challenge will be, as it is for the newspaper industry, as I know too well, as these
Absolutely.
Millennials sort of age and go through life, that's going to present a greater and greater challenge for the industry then.
It's a huge challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And no one, if anyone says, Steve, I know exactly what the future is going to be in the cable business, turn and walk away, because they don't know. Everyone, the big companies are doing experimental stuff. They're doing surveys. They're trying to figure out what options could we offer young people that wouldn't kill our business because the older people would take them too. I mean, I have a good friend who's almost 80 years old. He doesn't have cable. He buys broadband. He's like a 25-year-old. Mm-hmm. He buys broadband cable and a service called Acorn, which is all the British programming from the ITV and BBC. And he buys Netflix, and that meets his needs. Hmm. He doesn't care about sports, doesn't care about NBC, ABC, or CBS. His needs are met.
Well, in my neighborhood in Westwood, Kansas, right, the yards are all being torn up for the second time within a year. Google Fiber came in, laid their lines. Now somebody else is in, I think it's AT&T, but we don't know for sure, laying lines in our neighborhood. I assume as this goes on and the availability of high-speed fiber broadband service increases, that the migration to this kind of cheaper cable might only increase.
Well, it kind of depends how old you are and what it takes to meet your needs. Google has torn up our easement in front of our house as well. And I expect in November, December, the sign-up period will be underway. But they're not any, in a sense, they're not any smarter than the rest of the cable operators. They really only offer, at least in my neighborhood, three flavors. They offer everything, including gigabit speed broadband, for $130 a month.
Right.
If you just wanted gigabit internet service, very high speed, that's $70 a month.
Yeah.
And if your needs are met with really low speed internet, that's actually free if you pay a $300 installation fee.
Yeah.
Show me in those three offerings anything like a la carte, anything like, it's all or nothing. It's kind of take everything or take just the broadband, or take really slow broadband.
Let me get our listeners involved here. I'm curious what they make of this change in the cable TV industry. How are you watching the Royals games right now? 816-235-2888 is our phone number here, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. You know, one thing that strikes me about the cable TV industry, Mike, and you'd have a great view of this, you know, it just strikes me that with the monopolies that so many of these companies have had, that, you know, service declined, prices went up, and sort of like the good old music CD, you'd walk into some stores a few years ago and see them on sale for $19. Did the cable industry just sort of price itself out and sort of let themselves make themselves vulnerable to this kind of change exactly?
That's a good question. I think we did, but we didn't mean to. Hmm. What happened was over the years, a guy and his wife would come up with a good idea for a new channel. That's how Sci-Fi Channel started. A guy and his son had a great idea for a new channel. That's how ESPN got started. And cable operators just kept adding these and adding these, and they didn't know when to stop. It wasn't that there were decisions made in 1949 that said, let's make a bunch of bad decisions that'll really mess this business up in 60 years. We tried to offer everything our customers wanted, but we had to make some money. So we had regular rate increases at the retail level. The interesting thing to me is now most cable operators make very little or almost no money off of video.
Really?
They carry HBO.
Meaning the TV channels.
You bet. They carry HBO and Showtime as a public service almost. By the time that their share of the revenues collected for HBO that go to the cable operator is so tiny, and remember, the cable operator has to buy all the set-top boxes, that whole security system that's all financially on the shoulders of the operator, that, in fact, I know a couple of outfits now, cable operators on the West Coast, that are de-emphasizing video to such an extent they want to be known as broadband providers that incidentally also carry some video.
Oh, that's interesting. But still, the perception of the public is that prices have gone up.
They have.
Service quality has been shaky at best for so many years until I've noticed a big change since Google Fiber came along, and suddenly you can get a call answered pretty quickly. They didn't do themselves any favors, Mike.
No, they didn't. And I'm always been a big supporter of competition. Competition's good for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the first guy in the market, you may kind of resent it for a while, but later you will see that it's made you a better company too. And I think that's the only, personally, the only thing that's been missing in the cable TV formula is not having two or three providers in all the major markets slugging it out for the benefit of the marketplace and the consumer.
Well, if our customers, our listeners out there have made the switch to broadband, watch their TV on their computers instead of watching it via cable, I'd like to hear from you. 816-235-2888 is our number. Jeff from Prairie Village, you're on the show. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Steve, for your show, and I really enjoy this. As we're waiting for Google Fiber to come into our neighborhood, which hasn't quite happened yet, I wanted to respond to your guest, too, that I've really switched my needs and habits to the Internet, where I will check out maybe the new fall lineup of different networks and check out their shows and enjoy doing that before I either commit to a particular program or network. And I use Amazon Prime mostly to do that.
Right.
So I'm going to the a la carte method as well.
And how do you like it?
I love it. It's it turns out, just as your guest said, to be as expensive as cable at the end of the month when the bills are due, so to speak. Or Netflix, for instance, will be something I'll turn to. But I like the model a lot of broadcasters have started doing with like delivering full content, the full season ahead of time. So that's been another development that I've really engaged in. So, yeah, thank you so much.
Jeff, can I ask how old you are?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 45, Steve, right at that age group of the Gen X. You know, so I too have kind of favored the millennial approach.
Yeah, and he's what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, Mike.
I'm not surprised.
Hey, can you envision a day when the networks fold their tents and go home? Is that day coming?
No, but I think the stronger ones will stick it out. The smaller networks that really don't serve a genuine need are probably going to go by the wayside.
Smaller networks, give me an example of what you're talking
about. I hate to name any, but this, like a Sportsman's Network or an outdoor channel. But those channels have what, when I worked for Home Box Office, we had, Nielsen didn't want to rate us because we were too small, so we had to do our own surveys. And what we found was HBO had what we called high satisfaction and low usage, meaning we didn't have many customers, but the ones we had really, really liked us.
That's interesting.
And that's the situation with an outdoor channel or a sportsman's channel. They may not have 50 million viewers every night. They may only have 1 or 2 or 3 million, but those guys really, really like the channel. So I'm not sure what happens to those channels.
Angie from Kansas City, Missouri, who's a real live millennial. Angie, good morning to you.
Good morning.
How do you watch your TV?
Well, usually I stream things through my Apple TV, and most of the, like, the big four networks all have their own app now, so I can watch shows kind of whenever I want and shoot it to my television and kind of watch things when it's more convenient for me. You know, sitting through an advertisement or two isn't a big deal because I get to watch what I want when I want.
Again, Mike, that's Angie's exactly who you're talking about here.
Yeah, I think the only thing that's missing, and this box should be available by Christmas, is some very easy way to shift between an over-the-air CBS feed that you might catch with your own antenna and your DVR and so forth. I mean, that's coming. The transparent part of using this right now is still a little clunky for most kids that most young people that try and do it this way. But the smoothness, the transparency is coming. It won't be long.
Angie, thank you for the good call.
Yeah, thank you.
Ezekiel emailed us his options. No cable, so we're listening on the radio or going to a local bar. Usually listen on the radio due to twins early to bed. I get that. Dave from Overland Park called to ask, what percentage of revenue for networks like Fox are coming from their cable revenue versus advertising revenue? Good question.
Oh, it is a good question, but Fox is its own. The head guy is a guy named Rupert Murdoch, and Fox is so big, it is, I don't think I can answer that question. They own everything. They own local TV stations. They own broadcast. They own cable. They own newspapers around the world, satellites in Europe, B-Sky B. This is a huge outfit.
Matthew from Lawrence doesn't own a TV. How do you view your content, Matthew?
Well, I do own a TV, but I have two Roku boxes. I had an antenna put up and just cut the cord. I will say, I think what a lot of people do, including myself, are sharing with, like, family members. So For instance, I purchased HBO Now and Sling TV. My sister has Netflix. I share my HBO with her. She shares her Netflix with me.
Huh.
This isn't exactly above board, but
all right, Matthew, I got a scoop. I appreciate the phone call. And Mike Panzik, again, has spent 21 years as the founding president and CEO of the National Cable Television Cooperative. Thanks very much for coming in, Mike.
You're welcome.
Good to have you.
Enjoy.